Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Indeed, it is the afternoon show with Buzz Wilson and with Luke Nichols. I'm Ricky Ricardo. Good to be with you on this Christmas Eve, a cold one. With some snow in parts of the area, not where I'm sitting, but there's snow in parts of maybe where you're listening to us this afternoon over the air or streaming on the Odyssey app, which is absolutely free. But we welcome you wherever you are, and we hope you have a just magnificent holiday season, whether you're going to celebrate Christmas Eve tonight and Christmas morning tomorrow. Hanukkah starts tomorrow, this year Hanukkah on Christmas Day. Dan, how does that work, by the way? Or Kwanzaa, whatever you're celebrating, whichever way. Happy holidays. Just have a merry one, a safe one, number one. How do we know year to year when Hanukkah starts, Dan?
Yeah, so it's on the Jewish calendar is the best way to explain it. It's not really on the cycle of the calendar as we know it in America, so to speak. So if you notice, like Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur could be basically anywhere in September or October. Hanukkah could be as early as the earliest it's ever been. I think ever been, and or certainly earliest in my lifetime, was, I want to say, 10, 11 years ago, 2013 maybe. It actually started the night before Thanksgiving.
Wow.
And I've seen it go as late as like 1 or 2 days into the new year. So yeah, just as it kind of played out this year, it starts on Christmas night and goes through New Year's Day. But it really could be anywhere in like a six-week span. It's on a calendar that has really not any much to do with like the month of November, December, January, as we know it.
Well, the bottom line is, whichever way you're celebrating, whether it's Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, you know, whatever it might be, we hope you are happy, healthy. Hopefully you can be with family and friends. Not everyone has that luxury. You know, people that are serving our great country abroad, we thank you. And I know many of you listen on the Odyssey app, so not all of us are blessed enough to have family and friends around. Consider us family or friend if you're not with your loved ones during this great holiday season. First hour we dedicated to the question of whether it was a quote-unquote blessing in disguise in a certain way that the Eagles lost that game. The number one seed was maybe a little bit too much to ask for, especially after watching the Lions just dismantle the Chicago Bears outdoors in the cold. Whether that was a product of the Lions being that good or the Bears being that bad, that remains to be seen. Detroit still two wins away from sewing up the number one seed in the NFC on top of winning their division. They're at San Francisco, who stinks and has been eliminated. The 49ers are out of playoff contention. That's the Monday night matchup. And then they finish up at home against the Minnesota Vikings. I'm still not sold on Sam Darnold. Many of you are going to, you know, well, what is it going to take to convince you? It's going to take, you know, Darnold beating the Lions in Detroit to convince me about the Vikings, although they've had a tremendous season. The only two lost teams, the Lions and the Vikings in the NFC. Eagles more or less locked into the two seed. Obviously, the Dallas game, as if you haven't heard, has been moved from the 4:25 window into the 1 o'clock window on Sunday afternoon. So you'll have to make some tailgate adjustments as far as your schedule is concerned. You'll hear the game right here on 94WIP. Countdown to kickoff at 10 o'clock. Eagles pregame at 11 o'clock. And all the great postgame coverage as you get only right here on 94WIP. Merrill and Mike, I'll do the game in Spanish down the dial at 105.7 FM. So we all have a good time. And it's Dallas week. I mean, it doesn't feel like Dallas week because Dallas sucks.
Well, no. Here's another byproduct of the Eagles losing the other day. The Cowboys are officially eliminated. The Cowboys cannot It does not matter what happens. Mathematically, they will not make the playoffs in the year 2024, which is always a beautiful thing.
And they may keep their coach.
That's the report as of earlier today. It's looking like Mike McCarthy is going to get another year, which you just hate to see something like that. I mean, that's just really unfortunate that they accept such mediocrity down there.
If you look at it from an IFO point of view, Independent Football Observer, okay, and I know, you know, when it comes to the Cowboys, there is really, you know, no such thing.
Of course not.
Not in our audience anyway. You're either one thing or the other. But is there really an alternative? Who would, I mean, if let's say they fired Mike McCarthy, who would they, with Belichick gone in the collegiate ranks?
I never buy this argument. There's always coaches. I mean, I don't know. Ben Johnson will probably be back in the mix again. Michael
that
Irvin.
That was rumored a couple weeks ago.
Michael Irvin was certainly going to bat for him. There's always the hot coordinator or a college
coach. Can you
coach
imagine if Shador ended up on the Giants and his dad was coaching the Cowboys, a division opponent?
Weird things. I mean, Doc Rivers has coached against Austin plenty of times. I mean, it happens.
Yeah, but it's not the same thing. Can't put it, you know, Doc Rivers' son is not in the same stratosphere.
I'm not saying it's the same thing. I'm just saying it wouldn't be the first time a dad coached against his son. No, it would certainly be really, really weird. And I think it very well could happen. But as far as, I don't think you keep Mike McCarthy just because you're not happy with the crop of coaches coming out. Like, so you're just going to punt another year? What is he doing for you?
Well, according to everything coming out of Dallas, they're still playing hard for him, although playing hard should be a prerequisite for your paycheck, number one. But I don't think Mike McCarthy has, you know, done anything good for the Cowboys, and we're fine with that. All right, let's talk. Oh, by the way, Dan, give everybody your questions of the topic, side topic, and questions. Go over.
Yeah,
so we
opened up the show, and we'll ask this to Jeff Kern a minute here. Was it a blessing in disguise? The Eagles lost to the Commanders again. You know, now that they can just lock into the number two seed, the number one seed never seemed that realistic. Or is it good from that perspective? Is it good from the perspective that the two seed path could actually be easier anyway, with the Vikings and Packers lingering as the 5 and 6 seeds in the NFC? And now the temptation to go for that Saquon Barkley rushing record, I think, is officially out the window. All of that taken into account, was it a blessing in disguise that the Eagles lost to the Commanders? And have you found did you find yourself gaining a newfound appreciation for Jalen Hurts on Sunday, watching Kenny Pickett play the majority of the game? So that's kind of what we're angling at here today, and asking our callers. And, you know, we will ask it to Jeff Kerr here.
And our side topic is?
Oh, our side topic is, what's your natural talent based upon the fact that you and Luke Nichols have the two best voices here at WIP?
Your natural
talent.
Appreciate that. All right. Jeff Kerr, CBS Sports, our buddy who covers just about anything happening in Philadelphia or Pennsylvania sports, because the guy lives for the Nittany Lions also, who still have a game coming up. Well, we'll discuss that as we get closer to New Year's Eve, Mr. Kerr. But you were in Washington. You were in the locker room after the game. You took in everything that went on. Now that you've had a couple of days to sit on this and, you know, let it all sink in, and you saw what happened with Detroit, everything that's gone on here, was it a blessing in disguise in a way that the Eagles lost that game, Jeff Kerr?
Kind of yes and kind of no, to be honest.
He's toeing the line.
Another
fan from Pete saying, take a stand! Take a stand!
Hey, look, I'll just say this, Ricky. The players were too upset that, it's very hard to win 10 in a row, let alone
17 in a row.
Yeah, right. 16, 17 in a row. So I think they were okay with it. I think they knew that, look, their starting quarterback got hurt on the 11th play of the game. They still have 5 takeaways. They almost won a football game. If they don't have bad penalties, if they don't, if Devonta Smith catches a pass, that seemed to be the topic here. You know, Devonta Smith said it point blank, if I catch the you-know-what ball, this thing is over. So I think the Eagles are okay with it. And look, I heard you guys talking about Saquon and the rushing record. To me, I think 2,000 yards is just as special as getting the rushing record, and he's only about 140 away from that. So if Saquon gets to 2,000, I think that's the goal the Eagles want him to get.
Jeff, watching that game on Sunday, if you had to rank the reasons in which they lost, the Devontae Smith drop, the penalties and lack of discipline, the special teams, and it seemed like the kickoffs, Braden Mann especially, had trouble with that all day long. The defense allowing 36 points. If you had to rank your top three or four reasons why the Eagles lost this game, how would you order it and why?
Yeah, I think I would go with Devonta Smith's drop, because if he catches that, Washington ain't getting the ball back till maybe, what, 15, 20 seconds left?
Yeah, they win the game.
You still got to score a touchdown. Yeah, exactly. You still have to score a touchdown to win. I don't think Eagles are going to give up a Hail Mary, so like Chicago did. So I would go to that. The kickoffs I actually put pretty high up, because I put out a stat yesterday. There were 13 possessions, and 8 were inside the 30-yard line, and 6 were inside the 40. So Washington was getting great field position all day. Remember, they drove right down the field on that last drive because they started at the 43. So, yeah, 2 would be that. Look, I'll never blame the officials for a loss. I'm never going to do it. Never. And look, this is how I treat the officiating situation. And as much as I disagree with C.J. Gardner-Johnson getting ejected, just remember the Eagles got away with no unsportsmanlike conduct last week when Pittsburgh got hit. So, Darius Slay and Quinyon Mitchell.
What goes around comes around.
All that. Yeah, exactly. It all evens out. NFL officials are inconsistent. It is what it is. I'm never going to blame officials. But look, I truly believe if Jalen Hurts plays that game, that whole game, they score 50 points, because they were on pace to do that anyway. So, look, everybody wants to blame Kenny Pickett. And I'm like, these are the same fans that wanted Kenny Pickett to play over Jalen Hurts in May. So, it is what it is. The players told me that they thought Kenny Pickett was fine. Look, he's running Jalen's offense. It's spur of the moment. I thought Kenny was fine. He wasn't good. He wasn't bad. It's, considering the situation, they're going to prepare him to start a football game on Sunday. So, whether it's Jalen Hurts, where it's Kenny Pickett, I think Pickett could be I'm not going to say a lot better, but a little better if he has to play against Dallas.
Did you get any newfound respect? Which is, part of our other side of this coin and the question that we're throwing out there this afternoon. Was it a reminder to you maybe of how much we should hold in high esteem one Jalen Hurts by watching what happened after he came out of that game?
Oh, absolutely. And look, Jalen Hurts is a top 10 quarterback for a reason. I can put any stat in there over that 10-game win streak that shows he's probably been a top 5 quarterback. That's how well Jalen has played. And look, I look at yards per attempt, not turning the ball over. I mean, to me, those are two key stats, and Jalen Hurts was top 3 in both. I mean, the guy had 23 touchdowns to 2 interceptions or 3 giveaways or something, during that win streak. So, yeah, when Jalen Hurts protects the football, what he brings in your offense, just the threat to throw the ball, the threat to run it. Look, you can have all the talent around you, but Eagles average 2.5 points per possession with Jalen Hurts is in the game. That's top 5 in the league. And with Kenny Pickett, he was down to 2.1, which is still top 12 in the league. So there is a huge difference here between Jalen Hurts and Kenny Pickett. And no, I'm not advocating Jalen Hurts to be an MVP or, in the conversation of Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, but Jalen Hurts is pretty good, and he's 46-19 as a starting quarterback for a reason. You see how valuable Jalen Hurts is when he doesn't play. And to be honest, a lot of people should have saw that 2 years ago when you witnessed the Gardner Minshew experiment.
Jeff, this is going to be the last Eagles question for me, because I know we got a few Phillies things to tackle with you as well. You mentioned, I wanted to circle back on something you had said earlier, which is that Kenny Pickett struggled to run Jalen Hurts' offense. Now, we've seen it, with all NFL teams, when the starter goes down, you got to modify your playbook a little bit for the backup. And I think that's one of the things Doug Peterson did so well in the Super Bowl year, is when push came to shove, especially in the playoffs, they modified that playbook and they crafted it around Nick Foles. I get it, it's a little bit harder in game, but how would you assess how Kellen Moore, Nick Sirianni, the Eagles coaching staff alike, how they did, given the fact that they had Kenny Pickett out there and not Jalen Hurts? Because to me, it felt like they didn't maybe necessarily modify the playbook quite enough throughout the course of the game, and asking, I don't want to say Kenny Pickett to do too much, but not really playing to his strengths as much as just kind of going with the game plan they already had with Jalen.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dan. I think they kind of dumbed it down a lot for him, to be honest. And I mean, as you saw early in the game, it was target A.J. Brown, target Devonta Smith, go to your playmakers and you know, you didn't see anything in Saquon Barkley until the third quarter, that wheel route, which was, by the way, Kellen's best play call of the game, and Saquon dropped it. You know, Grant Calcaterra was a non-factor. You didn't see, you know, Kenny Pickett looking. I mean, he looked down the field, but you didn't see him looking at a Jahan Dotson or anybody else like that that was playing. You kind of forgot that they were on the field. But, look, at the end of the day, I think it was, hey, Kenny Pickett, go to your playmakers, let them make the plays for you. I mean, they targeted Marshon Lattimore throughout that game, you know, and give credit to A.J. Brown for seeing that. But look, Devonta Smith was getting open too. I mean, I was concerned with the yards per attempt and how basic the offense was and how the Eagles were able to get short fields and not get touchdowns to get field goals. But look, when Kenny came in, he finished that drive off for Hurts and went 3 for 3 for 20 yards and touchdown to A.J. Brown. So I guess maybe the Eagles figured, okay, this is working, let's stick with this. But I'm curious to see if Kenny Pickett does have to play this week, if he can absorb a more game plan to his favor. But what bothered me, too, is, man, Kenny Pickett can do an RPO. He can take off. I've seen it in college. I've seen it with the Steelers. I'm just baffled why the Eagles didn't try to use that on Sunday.
Interesting. That's another topic for another day. All right. As far as the baseball is concerned, we're talking to Jeff Kerr, CBS Sports. Jeff, it seems like every time Dave Dombrowski says, well, we're done for now, expect a move in the next few hours. Maybe not, you know, earth-shattering moves, but more additions to the bullpen. So is he done? Or is there still some wiggle room as far as the payroll is concerned to keep adding after Kepler and now Joe Ross and pieces like that? Not the big names, but he seems to be filling in the 26 men.
Yeah, I feel like he's not. You know, every time you and you're right, Ricky, every time you think Dave Dombrowski's done, he's not. Like the other day, for example, we're on a Zoom call with him after they signed Kepler, and 2 days later they signed Max Lazaro. I mean, they trade for Jesus Lazaro. Mm-hmm. And which, by the way, we all know how bad the Phillies were when they had their fifth starter, their Taiwan Walker issue last year, when you're putting in guys like Seth Johnson, who clearly wasn't ready to pitch, and it's costing you games. Like, they won 95 games. You could have easily said they would have won 100, 102 if they had a fifth starter. So that clears that up, getting Jesus Lazardo, who, by the way, I love the move. I don't think you had to give up much to get him. I mean, am I going to miss Starling Taba a bit? Yeah, but he was more of a defensive prospect anyway, and he's still only 18 years old. So I like the move. I still think if they get the right package, they would trade Ranger Suarez because he is going to be a free agent after next season. He's going to make a lot of money because he's a really good left-handed pitcher, and eventually Andrew Painter is going to be ready. I think it's going to be July. At least that's what Dave Dombrowski is saying. I've been hearing around May, June, July. You know, they don't have an exact timetable on that, but he is going to be thrown in spring training. But if you can get a bat for Ranger Suarez, I think they're going to do that. I don't think they're necessarily done. I know they view Max Kepler as an everyday player, and I think he could be a good everyday player for them, but I still think there's another move coming in there, at least trying to get a bat.
Jeff, how would you, A, grade this offseason thus far for Dave Dombrowski, and B, one thing that still feels a little light to me is the bullpen. Doesn't seem like they're necessarily confident Jeff Hoffman's coming back. I know they signed Romano. I know they have, you know, Strom and Kirkering and Alvarado and the likes all coming back. But losing Hoffman, in my opinion, is a big deal. Obviously, also, it felt like Romano filling more of the Estevez role, and now you're just going to not have Hoffman. Whether he goes elsewhere on a relief of, you know, role or a starter's role, are you satisfied with where this bullpen sits right now? Do they need to add more to it? And how would you grade this offseason as a whole for Dave Dombrowski?
You know, Dan, it's funny. So when they won the NL East, I was talking to John Middleton, and he was fully 100% confident this was the best bullpen he's ever had. And since he's taken over as principal owner, and I agree with him. And then, of course, they have 11.5 ERA in the postseason, and all their money players decided to just not be money players. And I think that's part of the reason why they're moving on from a Jeff Hoffman, from a Carlos Estevez, and they signed Joe Ross, and they signed Romero. They signed guys like that. And if you do look at the seven that it looks like they're going to have, it's very underwhelming compared to last year. You would figure, okay, if this team would get Jeff Hoffman in there, that'd be great. I just don't think that's going to happen because Hoffman is eke in a multi-year deal. He might be a starter in there. You know, it might be a Clay Holmes situation. And, you know, more power to Jeff Hoffman. He's earned it. But, yeah, you know, Dan, I think I got to give this offseason right now probably a B-minus, if I'm being honest with myself. I do like the Max Kepler move. And again, when you win 95 games, the playoffs are such a crapshoot, as we all know. The Phillies beat the Braves in 22 and 23, and I always thought the Braves were a better team, but the Phillies could beat them in a short series, just like the Mets beat the Phillies, who I thought were the better team in the short series. So I give it a B-minus. I do like the Kepler move. Look, I probably like the Joe Ross move a lot more than most. I don't like how it's pretty bad when everybody and their mother knows that they're trying to trade Alec Boehm, and that's why you're not getting anything for him. And the offers you're hearing for a Kyle Tucker are underwhelming. And again, you know, when you offer Alec Boehm and Nick Castellanos, it's not going to get the job done. So I still think they would like to trade Alec Boehm, but I don't know if it's going to happen at this point. It just seems like they're going to bring him back. They still have him under team control, but, you know, they can defend them all they want. The relationship soured in September.
Hey, Jeff, what is your – Dan's side topic today is about natural talent, because me and Luke, you know, have good pipes. What's that natural talent you were born with?
Ooh, that's a good one. I can't say writing, can I? Even though that's what I do for a living, I can't say that.
You're allowed
Dan,
to say
you're
that.
You're the arbiter of this.
If you feel you were born with a natural ability to write and you pursued a career in that, that's fair game.
I mean, if you're Stephen King level, Ernest Hemingway.
I'm looking it up.
Mm-hmm. Are you?
I'm not nervous. I'll say that. You know, I always was a pretty good bowler. I'm not a great bowler, but I'm a 300 bowler, so I guess that's a natural.
You bowl the 300?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, look there you go. Bowling.
There you go. Yeah, I never sniffed more than 240. So yeah. We'll take that, Dan. Is that acceptable?
But we'll put you down for bowling here, Jeff.
Jeff, thank you for a couple minutes.
Thanks,
hey, Merry
Jeff.
Christmas, Jeff.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you guys. Happy holidays.
All right, Jeff Kerr, yeah, CBS Sports. I guess that's it.
If you're born with the ability to bowl and that got you to 300, or like, sure, that counts.
If you can bowl 300, that counts.
That counts. And by the way, you know, the whole jumping off point of this side topic is that you and Luke have pursued radio careers, I would guess, at least in part because of your natural given voice. Writing absolutely counts as well.
Yeah. So Jeff Kerr, writer, bowler. And what makes it more impressive, he's not a very big guy. For those of you that don't know Jeff, he's not, you know,
not physically imposing.
Not a physically imposing guy, correct. So for him to be able to be that good a bowler, that's special. All right, our number 215-592-9494. As Santa works his way around the globe, we're here for you for the afternoon show. In for Spike and for Ike and for Jack Fritz, I'm Ricky Ricardo. That's Buzz Wilson and our buddy Luke Nichols. Get on the horn with us. WIP Sports Time is 3:26. You know, Jose Feliciano does nothing the rest of the year. Boy, did he cash in now, huh? Oh, sing it, Jose. Feliz Navidad. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Is there a better career to have than just writing like a hit holiday song that comes up for 1 month a year and you just cash in those royalty checks, as you said?
Well, the song, as of a few years ago, when I was still in the music business, it probably still is, but as of a few years ago, the song that generates the most money year after year after year for the owner of the song, which I believe, and Luke, you may want to double check this, because at some point Michael Jackson had bought the rights to White Christmas from Paul McCartney.
Well, he bought the Beatles
rights. McCartney bought everything back.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken,
so
when Michael passed
twice?
Away.
So, like, literally, it changed hands twice. It went from McCartney to Michael Jackson back to Paul McCartney?
Right. But White Christmas is the song that is most recorded around the world in, you know, hundreds of different languages and is played more year after year after year. If that were a stock, you know, and you owned a piece of White Christmas, you'd get rich every year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about White Christmas. I'm thinking about Feliz Navidad. You know, Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. Just you hear the song, I'm saying 1 month, it's like a month and a half. You hear it some point, you know, mid-November through New Year's, and it gets played more than any other song does in a 10-month span the rest of the year. It is just, if you want a music career, it feels like the strategy is that the angle I would take is just write a really, really, really good Christmas song and just bank on it getting played 10 times a day for like these 45 days.
But it's not just here.
It's everywhere in the world.
It's everywhere around the world.
I know. It seems like a great strategy. Who needs the best song in the summer when you could have the best song in December?
Mariah Carey, for those, if you are, all right, I'll use you, Dan. You're in what, your mid-20s?
I'm 27, yeah.
You're 27. Do you really remember Mariah Carey for any of her hits other than her Christmas song?
No. If you ask me to name a Mariah Carey song, that's number one. I mean, I know she's done other things. I'm not that, like, out of the loop. But that's her number one song. Like, that is the song she is known for best. And it's the song that gets played for, you know, I've heard All I Want for Christmas is, I mean, you go out in the hub here and, you know, you got our sister station B101 playing,
or
you get in the car.
That's Christmas station.
I know, but I've heard All I Want for Christmas is You, I think, 10 times a day for the last 3 weeks. And it won't get played again after New Year's, but who cares? I've heard that song more than I've heard any other song if you played it once a day from January through October.
And her live performances now are all based on her coming out in a Santa outfit. Well, it's a very provocative Santa outfit.
It's a hell of a marketing tool, I'll tell you.
It sure is. 94 WIP on this Christmas Eve. Ricky Ricardo with Buzz Wilson back at the ranch, and Luke Nichols producing our program. We're here until 6 o'clock for the guys, for Ike Spike and for Jack Fritz. Taking your calls at 215-592-9494. Base topic this afternoon has been, was it a blessing in disguise for the Eagles? Now that the smoke is cleared, you've had time to analyze the pros and cons, and you know the Lions beat the Bears. Was it sort of a blessing in disguise? And Dan will read, you know, we'll go over every angle again as the show goes on.
And I was going to say, as well as our Twitter question, which is sponsored by Mark's Jewelers. It's engagement season. Visit the only jeweler with over 2,500 Google 5-star reviews, Mark's Jewelers, online at marks-jewelers.com. In addition to, was it a blessing in disguise, the Eagles lost to the Commanders, which is what we opened the show with, our Twitter question is, did you gain a newfound appreciation for Jalen Hurts after seeing the Eagles play without him on Sunday? Ricky, we have close to 500 votes on this thus far in just the first hour. What do you think the percentage is so far is?
Newfound respect? I'd say about probably 70-30 in favor of newfound respect.
You're not far off. 78% so far saying they have gained a newfound appreciation for Jalen Hurts.
See, and that bothers me because that means we took him, you know, for granted. That a lot of us took him for granted. If it took him getting out of a game against the Commanders, a regular season game, if that's what it took for you to get a newfound respect for Jalen Hurts,
that means he was being disrespected before?
Yes. Like I said, you know, when you asked me personally that question, a newfound respect. No, you kind of knew all along going into the season. Okay. If we had one concern, and this was before we saw what Saquon was going to be like, and we know what A.J. Brown brings to the table. You know, we know what the Slim Reaper brings to the table. But if you'd have told me, who's the one player you can least afford to lose to injury? It'd be Jalen Hurts, or am I crazy? So
I think you can make the argument for Saquon Barkley. I mean, if they lost Saquon Barkley, that is probably as close as you could ever come to the impact of losing a quarterback to a position player.
I said in the beginning of the season, before we knew.
Oh, sure. Start of the season, yes. Now.
Start of the season, if you'd have told me who is the one guy you can least afford to lose.
Yeah, every NFL team would say the same thing, their quarterback. Yeah,
it'd be Jalen Hurts. So I think the key word in that question is the newfound. And I've had the same, you know, view of Jalen Hurts myself all along. I mean, as Jalen Hurts goes, go the Philadelphia Eagles, and do I need to give you a bigger example of the Super Bowl in Arizona a couple of years ago? I mean, if Jalen Hurts doesn't fumble, we win that game.
And we're talking about a different past couple of years of the Philadelphia Eagles. Because, I mean, who everything changes if they win that game. Yeah,
everything.
No, I hear what you're saying. I guess where I stand, just to kind of reset it here, why I found a newfound appreciation for him was not because of what he does in the passing game. I thought Pickett actually handled the load relatively well there. It was what the Commanders were able to do against Saquon Barkley in the run game, stacking the box, not really having to respect Pickett's legs, which is something I knew. I'm not pretending that I was not aware of that. But to actually see it unfold that way on Sunday, to see the impact that Jalen Hurts has, not so much on the depreciation at the quarterback position, but the depreciation at the running back position and the entire offense as a whole and the offensive line as well, that's what really struck me. It wasn't so much that I wasn't aware what was going to happen. It's how it happened that really stuck out to me.
Yeah. The Commanders they were sending everybody at Saquon. They'd rather get beat by a Kenny Pickett 25-yard run
because they knew they didn't have to respect Pickett the way they would have to respect Hurts. But it wasn't because of his arm. It was because of his legs.
Right. It was just crazy to see. Like, they could have cared less if Kenny Pickett, which he never kept it, but even if he did, he would have had so much space
they'll
to work
recover,
with. They did not
be fine.
Care.
Exactly.
Yeah, you get a safety over there. You get a corner over there that can drag him down. Every other linebacker and D lineman was going towards Saquon.
The threat was not there, and that's what really
stuck. I think we're all on the same page. I think we all three of us and the majority of the callers and people, answering the question, I think we're all on the same page. The only reason I'm saying that I'm on the other side is because I'm using that word newfound. I kind of felt this all along. Now, it developed right before our very eyes on Sunday afternoon. The defensive coordinator changed the game plan.
And it came out before my very eyes in a more drastic way than I would have anticipated.
Oh, okay.
And that's really where I think we differ. That's why I worded it this way. That's why, to me, it was a newfound appreciation than what I even had previously. Not because I was disrespecting Hurts, because I gained another level of respect for the guy, seeing what he brings with his legs and the difference between him and Kenny Pickett.
All right, so that's the Mark's Jewelers question of the day?
That is the Mark's Jewelers Twitter question of the day.
All right, and I recommend if you've got a special someone, it is Christmas Eve, Mark's Jewelers, get some ice. Get them a little diamond, something in gold.
This would be a real last-second purchase.
It's never too last-second to pull it off.
Spend a little loot.
New Year's is coming up, too.
Yeah.
Never a bad time.
Never a bad time. Frankie's in Horsham. Hello, Frankie.
Yes, hi, Mickey. How are you?
I am well. Yourself? Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah.
Merry Christmas,
Kwanzaa,
to you.
However way you're celebrating.
I'm celebrating fine, and I went to my mother's grave this morning, put some flowers on it, and my
there
mother did love you.
Attaboy.
And she don't even know you.
Attaboy. Well, she's listening somewhere. So, Frankie's mom, thank you very much, and, may you live in eternity in peace.
I got an issue.
Okay.
The Eagles' defensive line. Had the defensive line coach said to Nick Sirianni 2 weeks ago, I'll handle it. We got an undisciplined defensive line, and that's going to be the death of us, my opinion.
Now, when you refer to undisciplined, you're talking about the personal
Jalen
fouls
Hurts
and the unsportsmanlike and things of that nature?
Yes.
Dan, what do you think? Do you want to take the edge off these guys, or do you just let it be and risk, roll the dice?
No, I don't think you have to take the edge off the guys, but the personal foul penalties have gotten a little out of control.
And it's costing this game.
And it's costing them unnecessary yardage. I mean, that can't. And I would imagine Vic Fangio is a pretty disciplined guy. I was actually listening to his press conference before we went on the air today. He was relatively relaxed when asked about it. I would hope that behind closed doors, he's saying, listen, Jalen Carter, listen, CJGJ, listen to the entire defensive room. I'm all for you guys being intense, but the smack talk that's getting you guys flagged, the unnecessary roughness, like Jalen Carter in the game a couple of weeks ago against the Steelers. That's not the edge. That's just being stupid. You can have an edge
stupid,
and be smart.
So what are we going to do about it?
Well, it comes down to coaching. It comes down to, listen, like you can't do that. You're going to cost your team yardage.
Right.
You're going to cost your team a game. You're going to extend possessions.
Do you think the Eagles going to beat the Cowboys?
I do, yeah.
No, I do. Yeah. What? Are the Cowboys all of a sudden awakened?
The Eagles are 9.5-point favorites as of right now.
Yeah, I'd be stunned. Stunned.
Is Jalen Carter going to come out and throw punches after he makes a tackle?
I mean, I really hope. Listen, Frankie, what you're saying is not to be like joked off. I think it's legitimately serious. But regardless, I don't think that's going to be a reason. And appreciate the call, Frankie. As we just lost him there. Like, I don't think that's a reason they don't beat the Dallas Cowboys. I'm confident, relatively confident, in saying, and this is another question I'll bounce off you, Ricky. Of like, let's say they do have to go with Kenny Pickett this week. Let's say that Jalen Hurts does not clear the concussion protocol. Doesn't seem like we'll have an answer on that until Thursday or Friday. You know, let's say Kenny Pickett is officially the starter. You'll see that line move a little bit. What is your confidence level in Kenny Pickett going and beating the Dallas Cowboys? Because that evens the playing field a little bit. The Cowboys have been playing with a backup quarterback almost all year.
I was going to say, it's their backup against our backup. And Kenny got enough reps this past Sunday. Remember, he came in very early in the game. He came in ice cold. I think we saw enough of what Pickett can do against a Dallas defense who, look, Baker Mayfield was, you know, had some success. We've seen guys have success against the Dallas defense. They've got some guys hurt. Although Micah Parsons has, you know, maybe reclaimed, you know, his reputation as one of the top defenders, and they're going to have to pay him in the offseason. He's been playing much, much better. But, you know, they've got their holes, too, on defense. I'm very confident. I'm put it this way. If going into this game I would have been 100% confident with Hurts, then I'm a good 97% confident going into this game with Pickett that they can beat this Dallas Cowboy team.
Which is all the more reason. I mean, Hurts has to clear concussion protocol anyway. But he has to clear concussion protocol anyway, but if he's not absolutely 100% ready to go, if there's any risk of him further injuring himself, I'm not bringing him out for Dallas. I'm definitely, if they clinch up the division this week, I'm not bringing him up for the game against the Giants. There's probably a good chance that the next time Jalen Hurts will and should play is that wild card game, likely to be against the Commanders.
I agree. I agree with you 100%. Let's go to Ron in Overbrook. Hello, Ron.
Hey, Mr. Ricardo, thanks for taking my call.
Mr. Ricardo would have been my dad. You can call me Ricky.
Ricky, what's up? You always say that. I keep forgetting. Yeah. Thanks for taking my call. I hear you guys keep talking about the defense stuff. I don't hear anybody talking about Vic Fangio's ability. Well, not his ability, but his willingness to make that adjustment. Remember when we played Tampa Bay and they kept saying that Jalen couldn't read the defense? And what they did with Jalen was, they didn't rush him. They just surrounded him, made a pocket, and kept him and made him a pocket passer. Excuse me. Well, I need to see Vic Fangio do that. That's my biggest concern, because we struggle with running quarterbacks, and I don't see him doing that. We got emotional Sunday. He was talking smack. They really wanted to put the young buck on his back. Couldn't do that. Consequently, every time we ran past the quarterback, he ran up the middle and gassed us. And that's happened to us before, and it's been happening to us all season. If we don't make that adjustment, that's the most important thing. We will have trouble. Now, we don't have many traveling quarterbacks or running quarterbacks coming up in the playoffs, except for maybe if we see like a Josh Allen or somebody like that, but that would be Super Bowl time. So, but anybody else, I'm not really concerned about, with the exception of Tampa Bay. The Todd Bowles seems to have Jalen's number. So that's my biggest concern and worry going forward. I'm not worrying about us losing to Washington. In fact, I'm glad we lost to Washington and not the stinking Cowboys. By the way, Dallas sucks. And the football team's bad, too. Okay? So there. Now I said it out loud.
You've been to the city of Dallas? I take it you didn't enjoy yourself?
Hold on. I gotta recant a little bit because Fort Worth is kind of nice, but Dallas sucks. So there,
the team sucks. The city's fine.
Arlington, you had a better time at the cattle thing that they have in Fort Worth. That's a lot of fun over there.
It is a lot of fun in Fort Worth. I ain't gonna lie, but yeah. Dallas still sucks. So I'm gonna ride with that. I'm gonna die on that hill.
As far as Todd Bowles and the Bucks have done, probably have done the best job game planning against Jalen Hurts, you know, going back, three, four games.
2021, when they played Brady in the playoff game.
Yeah.
That's right.
Bowles' defense has been probably the best game planned against Hurts' skill set that I've seen in the league. You're probably right about that.
So we need to incorporate that when we go to see Washington again, because I got a feeling we're going to see them again in this third game, this third matchup, and we're going to have that type of discipline to not rush him, to not want to put him on his back. Let him run to us, and we'll beat them hands down with no problem.
What's the God-given talent that you have? Answer Dan's off-topic question.
Hey, this is a family show, man. I can't say. Birds.
That's a winner. Yeah. We have a winner from Ron, strictly on the implication.
You knew someone.
Someone was going to go
there.
Only
a matter of time.
Someone had to do it. I'm surprised it took until 3:50.
Yeah, but Ron, ring the bell for Ron.
Ron takes it off the board.
Steve is in Willow Grove. Stevie, how are you, baby?
Slick Rick and Buzz.
What's up, Steve?
The dynamic duo.
How about that Slick Rick and Buzz? I like that.
Happy Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, my friend.
So, hey, Ricky, real fast, before we get started here, you know, with Luke, can't we get him some lessons, some singing lessons, and bring him in as a Barry White cover?
Who's the...
I've gotten Barry White that multiple times since. It's like the third time I've gotten Barry White.
Yeah, but no, who's the country singer that reads the commercials for the kids for the foundations for the kids on TV? The big cowboy hat, got the real pipes.
Blake Shelton, maybe.
No, I don't know.
I don't think,
guys,
but I'm just
no. Blake Shelton is married to what's her name?
Gwen Stefani.
Gwen Stefani. Jelly Roll, not Jelly Roll. No.
We'll look at it in the break,
but. He's
on the commercial for the Tunnel to Towers and for the kids. What's his name? It's on the tip of my tongue. He's got a very similar voice to Luke.
Yeah, man, we just got to get him some lessons and take him out on the road, Ricky. And he's Barry White all over the place.
Not
Dierks Bentley.
Oh, well, that's what popped up. I don't know who it is. That's what popped up when I searched it.
Hey, Rick, one other question.
The Shriner, pull up Voice of Shriners commercial, Dan.
Luke will be on it in the break. Steve, what do you want to say?
Rick, real fast. Rick James or Prince, did they ever do any Christmas songs?
Good question. I don't remember. I don't think Rick may have produced the Temptations or been part of the production of Silent Night that the Temptations did when he was working with them. I don't remember if Prince ever did a Christmas song per se. I'd have to go through the collection, but if either one of them did record a Christmas song, it never really broke through. I can tell you that.
Yeah, all right. I can just try to picture Rick James doing a Christmas song, you know? But
yeah.
That's another story.
There's a better shot of Rick than Prince, maybe. Prince was a Jehovah's Witness, so, you know, now that I think about it, he may have, I don't know, do Jehovah's Witnesses celebrate the same way? I don't know. Now, do you think, now that I'm, you know, you're bringing it up, Prince was a Jehovah's Witness. So
well,
I think Jehovah's
so
Witness celebrate Christmas the same way. I'm not sure.
I wouldn't know that. Hey, listen.
What's a God-given talent you have?
Well, your previous caller, I was going to go there, but I'm going to sidetrack that we have a Christmas tree up all year long, and we're celebrating Christmas all the time here in my household.
Now, is there a particular reason you don't take it down? Is it a real tree and you have, you know?
Nah, it's an artificial tree.
And you keep it lit all year?
Every day we fire it up. It's, you know, you never know when the big guy's going to show up with a gift for the grandkids, so we got to be ready.
See, that's an interesting angle. Now, I don't know if that's, Dan, does that qualify as a...
appreciate the call, Steve. I don't know if that's a talent.
Feels like more of a choice.
That feels like more of a choice and an interesting one at that. I don't know if... Is anyone really in the holiday spirit on March 17th?
Yeah, 4th of July with a Christmas tree.
So well, there is Christmas Madness with a Christmas tree.
Yeah, opening day of the tournament. It's, you got the Christmas tree. And it's an artificial tree. It's not even like it's a real one.
The present is the first 12 verse 5 upset that happens.
That's always what it is. And then you have opening day, light up the Christmas tree. And
exactly.
You, Memorial Day, you got to light up
you
the Christmas tree.
You got a tree for everything. Why not?
June 4th, why not have a Christmas tree?
Let's do it. Also, I found the country singer. It's Trace Adkins.
That's who it is.
Trace Adkins.
All right. Now, that guy, I wish I had his
That guy's
pipes.
Got pipes.
Oh, my. Yeah, he makes me and Luke sound like a kindergarten choir.
All right, we might have to come back with some Trace Adkins here.
Find some Trace Adkins. You'll see what I'm talking about.
All right.
215-592-9494. We're halfway through our little Merry Christmas merriment here on this December 24th, 2024. Buzz will be the pilot for the rest of the show for the next couple hours. We'll co-pilot with the young buck coming up for the next 2 hours. Taking your calls, 215-592-9494. WIP Sports Time is 355.